Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody. Hey, Scott Patterson, Pop Culture Season 3, Episode 19, Keg Max. Lorelai, let's start out with the first scene, the opening scene where Lorelai and Roy are sitting on the couch trying to figure out what to do on a Friday night because they ain't going to Richard and Emily's no mo because there is bad blood now. Imagine that between mother and daughter. So they make a phone call, right? And Rory makes a phone call and Richard answers and she finds out that they are partying their brains out at the Gilmore house. It's like Friday night dinner. What are they doing? Oh, they're probably just sitting there with an overly bright light bulbs, no heat, just to rub it in. And, you know, we're miserable because we don't have these two here. No. They are putting on the Ritz, man. They have tuxedos. They have gowns on. they're serving mushroom caps. And by the way, that was one of my favorite lines of the entire episode was when Rory just looked at her mom and said, but mushroom caps. She goes, I'm sorry.
So true. I do love a mushroom app.
I does. Yeah, exactly.
And I know they said cap, but I turned it to app. I love anything mushroom app.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, so Rory says, no, it just drives me crazy. It's if you'd like to do shave and a haircut without the last part, you know, first of all, can I ask you guys something? How does Rory know what that is? How does Rory know what shave and a haircut is?
Exactly.
In musical terms.
That's one of my bones to pick.
Okay. That's
an old timey reference.
We'll go to that. That's a 100-year-old reference, by the way.
Exactly. Because
I looked it up and I listened to the song. And so anyway, shave and a haircut that she refers to her mother – is associated with two bits. It's a seven-note musical riff, call and response rhythm popularly used at the end of a musical performance. And I listen to it and it goes something like this, and you've heard it all before. It's like, dun, 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 dun. That's it. Okay. Mm. And there are different forms of that. So that's usually for comedic effect. And it's used melodically and rhythmically, for example, as a knock on the door. And here are the musical notes. And I don't know if anybody can read music or, but it's called Shave and a Haircut, Two Bits. It could be used as a duet where one person calls and the two bits would be the answer. Dun, 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 dun. Amy, give me the answer.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. So I'm going to call. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun. There you go. Dun, 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 dun.
I can kind of read music. I know Face.
And right. I know every boy face. Does. Every boy.
Right.
What was that one?
Every boy.
Every fine boy does good.
No, every boy does. Oh, shoot.
Every good boy does fine.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Thank you. Let's try this again, shall we? Boy, I bet you your guitars aren't tuned very well. No. Every fine, good boy does well. All right, one more time, just for emphasis. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
Good. Excellent. Not too shabby.
Wait, I still don't get, even after all that, why did they say this?
You just missed Scott totally.
I know, and I was here. I was here, but I'm like, no, I don't get it.
What,
okay,
how, okay, let's move on. Let's move on. I mean, all right, so we're still in the scene, right? And they're still trying to figure out what to do with their Friday night. And they find out that Richard and Emily are partying their brains out over there, and that somebody is even dancing with Emily, and Richard spies this guy feeling, groping Emily on the dance floor, and he gets off the phone and says, hey, Warren, watch where your hands are going, you know, this kind of thing.
I do have his name.
I mean, first of all, how great an actor is Ed Herman? Jesus, that he puts all the joy and all the fun and everything.
Lloyd,
watch where your hand. Lloyd, watch those hands. You know, but he just, and especially when he got off the phone with Roy, he turns around and he gets into the song and he starts singing the song a little bit. Wonderful stuff. Love watching that guy act. So Roy says the Gilmore House is partying like it's 1990. Nine, obviously a reference to the Prince song.
Yep.
It's written in 1982, his fifth studio album, the same name. The song was to symbolize the mockery of an Armageddon and to party recklessly before the year 2000, which I guess is Y2K, right? That never sort of, it's just kind of fizzled out and poofed out.
Yeah, but he wrote it so far below.
He did. I know that.
What?
Well, and also speaking of the purple one, as he's referred to, right? They call him the purple one. In 2017, after his death, Pantone named a shade of purple after him. It's called Love Symbol Number 2. You know what Pantone is, right?
That's a different little fact I did not know.
Pantone is a company that does all the shades of different colors. There's thousands of thousands and thousands of different shades of green, blue, yellow thing. So when I was doing my coffee company colors, we had to get it down to a certain Pantone so everybody knows how to print it. So she also, and Lorelei referenced, and here at home with us, it's like the 700 Club.
Which is kind of old-timey. Right.
That's been around. I mean, you know, 700 Club's TV program, Christian Broadcasting Network, it aired each weekday in syndication in the United States and was available worldwide on CBN.com. Lorelei is referring to the 700 Club being boring. Imagine that. Imagine Lorelei saying something like that. Shocking. And here's another fun fact. Pat Robertson?
Yeah.
He started doing that when he was 28 years old, and he did it until he was 91.
Yeah, that thing was on for a long time.
Yeah. No, but I think it's still on, and his son took over.
Oh, really? I never see it anymore, because I used to like be flipping channels, and you would stumble upon to the 700 Club.
Yeah, they still play it on the 700 Club on Freedom Network or something like that.
Freeform. It's always on Freeform.
Freeform, right. Isn't that wild?
Yes, wait a minute. Now that's coming back to me. Like late at night?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like after like 9 p.m. It's so annoying because I'm like, sometimes I want like a good movie on Freeform and it's just 700 Club.
They obviously pay money for that. Like, meaning the 700 Club pays Freeform, I would say.
I know. All right. So now Lorelai is in the diner. She's in Luke's diner. She's with her camera. She's doing all her little doop de doo stuff with the analog device or the digital device, whatever. And she says, oh man, you do not photograph well. First of all, I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything, but can you imagine Luke not photographing well? I don't get that. 40 miles of bad roads. Stop it. You know, if you're going to do that to the butt, okay, do it to the face too. Okay. That's the face needs it. Thank you very much. You haven't been getting any sleep, brother, because that's 40 miles of bad roads. So Lorelai takes a picture of Luke. She looks at it, and he looked at it and was repelled by it. Everybody thought it was a horrible photo. We all acted the crap out of it. What a terrible picture it was, the whole thing. Anyway, 40 miles of bad road came from a rock and roll instrumental recorded by Duane Eddy. And I watched the video, and it was the weirdest video I've ever seen. It was back in the 50s. Dick Clark was in his early 20s. He presented Duane Eddy and this hit song.
Like on Bandstand?
I think it was like one of the first episodes of American Bandstand. It could have been. But they were on location in middle America, and Duane Eddy and his band came out. They were outdoors on a farm with all of these women in dresses with dark hair on either side in grandstands. And the band was brought out in tractors, and Duane Eddy was standing on top of the type of a tractor that cuts wheat. So he was standing on top of the rotor blades, and they were really big. So if that thing accidentally turned on, he would have been killed very quickly.
Oh my Lord!
The saxophone player came out in the scooper of an earth mover. And he was kind of laying down in it, playing a sax solo. It was really strange. Very funny. But anyway, so that the story behind the name of the song in which the title came from, 40 Miles of Bad Road, Eddie and his producer Lee Hazelwood were waiting in line to buy tickets to the movie theater. Now imagine standing there at a movie theater. You overhear two guys in front of you discussing a blind date that one of them had, and the other one said, well, how'd the date go? And his friend replied, well, it was okay, but the girl had a face that looked like 40 miles of bad road. And Duane and Lee looked at each other and they said, well, that's the title of our next record. So that's where it came from.
My reaction was a little early because I snuck ahead and saw it coming.
Right.
Oh, that is harsh.
Yeah. And it's an instrumental. There are no lyrics in the song.
So harsh that she said that to Luke.
Yeah, right?
Oof.
40 miles of bad road. But I think that's just part of her old, you know, just ribbing him, right? Just ribbing him. All right, now we move on to Lane practicing with her band and trying to think of a band name. Remember that scene? And Dave says, we have enough for 2 half-hour sets. In terms of songs, right? Because I think they asked him if he had enough songs. I think Jess asked him, do you guys have enough songs or whatever? And Dave says, but we need a name. And Brian says, I made my suggestion. And Zach says, yeah, we vetoed the Harry Potters. Next. Okay.
First of all, it's not a bad name, actually.
The Harry Potters?
I don't hate it. It's not bad.
I think it's pretty clever. But it does sort of limit what the perception could be for the band.
You just imagine them in cloaks.
Right, exactly. You imagine them, they're all magicians.
Cloaks and wands.
It's like we're the Harry Potters. It's like, well, that's a little weird. So, of course, this Harry Potter is a fictional series written by J.K. Rowling, 7 books. Let's do some fun facts. In all the scenes where Ron, Harry, and Hermione were doing homework, they were actually
that's funny.
Doing their homework.
I mean, they were the leads, so they really were in basically every scene.
Yeah, every scene.
Does everybody here love Harry Potter other than me?
Obsessed.
Love Harry Potter.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic story.
Fell asleep in those
fantastic.
Movies.
Fantastic.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Fell asleep? How?
I don't know. Snoring. Like,
I read all the books. I read all the books. I waited in line. Like, remember when you couldn't reserve seats in theaters back then? And we would wait in line all day.
Oh my God.
To, like,
I
make
get
sure
chills.
Me and my friends.
I get chills just thinking of the opening. That da, 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 da. Oh. I can't do it, but you know what I mean. That tune when a Harry Potter movie starts, that
it's
opening
just like
song,
your comfort.
It's mm-hmm. just like, oh yeah. My God, I love every movie. Every movie.
Yeah. They're classic films.
My
but anyway,
nieces love it, but no.
She thought of the name Hogwarts while on a flight, and she wrote it down on an airsick bag. And let me see. What else do we have here? Professor Severus Snape.
Severus Snape.
Oh. Snape was modeled on a teacher called John Nettleship, who taught J.K. chemistry in school. The character's name was inspired by Severus Road in South London, while his surname was taken from a small Suffolk village. Ah, summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're getting to some James Bond stuff. So Rory, They leave, Rory and Jess leave the band, practice in the garage after they try to come up with a name for the band. Jess starts going on about the prom and because he wants to go, Rory wants to go with Lane and Dave. So it's a double date for the prom. Rory says it means a tux, you know. I know it's geeky. And Jess says tuxes are also James Bond, so that's not geeky. So now we're going to talk a little bit about
I agree,
James
by the
Bond.
Way.
No, no. Yeah, Bond makes them cool. They're not geeky.
Sure does.
They're freaking
the
cool.
The right tux. Some tuxes can be geeky.
Yes, they can be. So when that's Bond series started in 62, the suit was the standard uniform in the Western world for middle class and upper class men. The suit and tie. James Bond's cover has always been that of a businessman who works for a London company called Universal Exports. And Jess is referring to how cool James Bond makes wearing a tux look. There have been seven James Bond. Who was your favorite, guys? Let's go. Tara, who's your favorite? James Bond. Have you seen all the films?
Brosnan.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. Just
he was pretty good. He was pretty
Roger
good.
Moore was the one I grew up with.
Right.
I didn't really even know about Sean Connery till later. Mm-hmm. And I never really watched the Daniel Craig. So I'm going Brosnan.
I'm going Connery and mm-hmm. Craig.
Yeah.
And I like me some Brosnan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do
poor
like
Timothy Dalton. Was he one and done?
He was one and done like George Lazenby, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
poor guy.
So, yeah. So I like me some Daniel Craig.
I'm not mad about the idea of Idris for Bond, by the way. Just saying. I think
yeah, no,
they talked about Idris would be rad.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's absolutely great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there have been seven of them. Sean Connery, David Niven. I didn't know David Niven was a Bond. David Niven was a Bond. He must have done one and done. George Lazenby. Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, he's done now, right? He said that was his last one.
And you know, I'm flying all the time, right? So I'm getting on airplanes all the time. And I've watched, what is it? No Time to Die?
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I get on Air Canada, I watch the film and they always land before 40 minutes before the end.
Ends.
And I'm like, it's happened to me three times. I don't even know the end. Anyway, Ian Fleming got the James Bond name from an author named James Bond who wrote a book on bird watching called Birds of the West Indies.
So I totally got distracted when you were talking about David Niven being Bond because all mm-hmm. I could think about was The Streaker. And I knew it. I looked it up. It was David Niven was hosting the Oscars when that Streaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That must have been in the 70s when streaking was a thing.
74.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wait, did we all streak? I streaked. I used to streak.
No, we've heard about yours, but no.
Right. We don't want to. Wait, let's not go into that again. All right. So here we go. We come to the infamous butt scene. Luke is tinkering. He's lying on the floor. He's tinkering with the stove.
I know the reference they made during this.
Right. Yeah. So Suki was talking about accidentally touching Luke's hind quarters. Shall we refer to them?
Derriere.
And Suki said it was an accident. Lorelai says it's getting very Cinemax at night in here. Cinemax is a cable network that launched in 1975.
I'm only laughing because it can be really awkward if you have all the cable channels and you're just flipping
you're just
through
scrolling. Yep.
And suddenly boom. There yeah. is just yeah. mm-hmm. It's yeah. wow. And yeah. you're just like, oh,
yeah, right. When I went to look at my house that I eventually bought in 2003, the guy was showing me around the house, and he turned on the TV in the media room, and there it was.
Oh,
full
no.
Full on.
No.
Really?
And it was 10 o'clock in the morning. And he goes, oh, sorry about that. No, I guess the owner likes to watch it, you know.
Why does he carry on the TV showing you the house?
I don't know. He just did.
So random.
So to compete with other cable networks, they decided to play R-rated movies during the daytime. So that's when the decline of the Western civilization began. whereas HBO was only playing R-rated movies after 8 p.m. So they have the moral high ground. HBO has the moral high ground. So Lorelai's referring to Cinemax content was inappropriate.
which was a funny line. That's my, I'm still, and it's been days and I'm still not recovered because
sexual
the scene
nature.
Makes me laugh and yet I feel awful about it. And just, I'm so conflicted.
It's just a TV show. it's just a goofy TV show. All right. So now Lorelai's telling Suki what it was like running into Max at the boosters meeting. Lorelai says, no, I was trying to play it cool. And Suki says, well, there you go. He was doing the same thing. You were both James Deaning it, trying to keep it professional. Here's some fun facts about James Dean. Is everybody familiar with James Dean on this panel?
Luckily, yes.
Everybody should know James Dean. He's the ultimate cool guy in Hollywood. I think that's probably debatable. I think he's the ultimate rebel. Okay.
Without a cause?
Right.
I'm here for you.
But you got to be east of Eden to do it.
Oh, it's well played, sir.
He was too cool to shower, is the rumor.
Oh, like Pitt. They say that about Brad Pitt.
Do they really?
Yeah.
God, I like it.
They even acknowledge it when he did Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
I like YouTube him even more now. People. No, I think that's great.
I love everything about Pitt. I totally agree.
No,
everything.
He can do no wrong.
I totally agree.
James Dean supposedly didn't care much about his public appearance, and I guess you can do that when you look that way.
Yeah, when you look perfect.
And went in for the disheveled look. At one formal lunch, he showed up barefoot and in filthy jeans. A scandal. And was known to appear at rehearsals in pants held together with safety pins. So he was a punk.
Oh, my Lord.
He liked to practice magic tricks. He was a smoker who was often photographed with a cigarette dangling from his mouth. Which, I mean, you know, thank God it was from his mouth, because that could have been awkward if it was from somewhere else. Dean put a magical spin on his tobacco habit. Oh, here we go. He would put an unlit cigarette and a flaming match into his mouth and then pull out a burning cigarette. I've actually seen that performed at parties. I've seen people do that. Not from Valda Victorians, but other types of people do that. All right, so now there's another scene. Lorelai is telling Suki about the meeting. It's the same scene.
Yep.
Suki suggests if Lorelai imagined kissing Max at her graduation.
This was funny, actually.
Suki says, maybe it was an illusion. Laura says, no, it's not an illusion. Doug Henning, we kissed.
Right.
Suki says, don't be so sure. Something like this happened to me when I was like 10. I was so into Leif Garrett and I fantasized about kissing him.
No, I don't want to correct you, but I think it's Leif Garrett, but people say it either way. But I too had a crush on Leif Garrett.
I'm sorry. Did you stop me to correct me about Leif Garrett?
Leif Garrett. I had a crush on him when he was on Wonder Woman. He played twins and they sang.
I'm gonna stick with Leif. Leif.
I think
people
go both ways.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. And I was so into Leif Garrett that I fantasized about kissing him so much at some point I really thought it happened.
Yep.
All right, who's Doug Henning? Why did she refer to Doug Henning?
Because I thought it was a question. I thought it was a game.
No, he's a famous magician.
Like an illusionist.
He was an illusionist in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
And he was credited with reviving
the
art
form. He was
like
Copperfield before Copperfield.
Right, right. And he paved the way for David Blaine. For David Blaine.
He's super
David Blaine.
70s,
Thank you, Doug Henning, for paving the way. Leif Garrett, however you want to say. Loof Garrett was a teen idol in the 1970s and starred in The Outsiders.
Yeah, he did not star in The Outsiders. He was in The Outsiders, but he was really famous for that hair. And he sang, I was made for dancing.
So he did a record, the whole thing. Yeah.
He was very sort of like the ultimate teen idol because he had that hair.
I remember him.
Cute face.
In the cover of Teen Beat, Tiger Beat.
He wore tight, like leathery pants and did that made for dancing all night long. It kind of had a Bee Gees thing to it.
Black leather pants. Wow. Yeah. So during the filming of Outsiders, the boys caused quite a bit of trouble in the hotel in which they were staying. One particular incident was the night they filmed the fountain scene where Bob, Leif Garrett, is attempting to drown Pony Boy seeing Thomas Howell. Later on, the six other boys jokingly mocked this scene in the hotel's lobby fountain, playfully trying to drown each other. Hinton states the hotel had the fountain removed within weeks. Okay, that's very extreme. My God, that's real power, too. I want that fountain removed, or else all my cast will die. Lane and her band at the party deciding on space where to perform for the first time. Zach says, because when I do my double jump kick off the amp and slashing windmills, I'm going to need more room. Lane, well, don't do that then. Dave, yeah, sounds a little too Milli Vanilli, Zach. Did Milli Vanilli jump off of amps? And
when did Milli Vanilli get busted for being that was like singers?
Like the late 80s, I think. Maybe no, early 90s. Early 90s? 95? So Milli Vanilli was a German-French R&B duo from Munich. The group was founded by Frank Farian in 1988 and consisted of Fab Morvan and Rob Pilatus.
Got right once again. They got busted in 89.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. And they were they were famous for their lip-syncing scandal.
Yeah.
They were performing in front of 80,000 people. Their debut hit, Girl, You Know It's True. They started with
a... Girl, You Know It's True.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Started with a lot of... Blame It on the Rain.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Ooh.
Who sang these songs?
Was there a lawsuit? Was there a lawsuit?
Well, yeah.
So they started off with a lot of energy and dancing. When they got to the chorus, the lyrics repeated endlessly throughout the venue. Girl, You Know It's... Girl, You Know It's... Girl, You Know It's... So... There you go.
Does no one remember when that happened to Ashley Simpson?
Yeah. Oh, on SNL. My God.
Yeah.
Yes. Now you're speaking my language.
You have to rewatch that on YouTube.
Did that end?
Kinda,
did that
she did
end?
Like a hoedown off the stage.
Did
it
that?
Was like, oh, yeah. You need to watch it.
And also Mariah Carey.
Really?
I don't remember.
New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's
right. No.
It was a couple years back.
Did it end Ashley Simpson's career? Did she ever recover?
I would beg to argue she hasn't come out with another album or a single since then. My
God. I don't think she got like canceled though. Like,
no, she didn't get canceled.
She just kind of was like embarrassing.
And Mariah Carey was just pissed.
Yeah.
She's not happy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can you imagine what Mariah Carey did after
she had
that?
One job to get the track right. People.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to YouTube that Mariah Carey.
Oh, my goodness.
It will give you a little, it's not funny, but it will give you a little laugh.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. So the duo's German producer and mastermind, Frank Farian, outed both singers, Pilatus and Morvan, that they hadn't sung a note on the worldwide 14 million selling chart-topping Girl You Know It's True album, which generated five top five singles and three number one pop hits. After this was found out, they had to give their Best New Artist Grammy back. Wow. I believe Dave is referring to Milli Vanilli, then being seen as imposters. And Zach, too, could make a fool of himself. So, again, Dave saves the day with
God,
humor.
The Mariah Carey one is worth a rewatch.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's good.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now that's the scene, early party. Jess and Rory at the party. Jess is in a bad mood because he got kicked out of high school. Rory, and he hasn't told Rory yet, and she's trying to cheer him up, you know? She's being a good girlfriend. Jess said, we're dork early. Okay, that's an expression. Roy says, come on.
I need to steal that.
We're like, dork early. We're dork so early. So good. Dork early.
So good.
Roy says, come on, get in the spirit of things. Hello, Cleveland. Okay, so hello, Cleveland is a saying from the 1984 rock comedy film This is Spinal Tap, where the band is walking onto the stage and screaming and fist pumping hello Cleveland to get themselves excited. Rory is saying this in a funny way to get Jess pumped up and excited. By the
Why
way,
did I think it's you say hello Cleveland, but they were like in like Boston. Did I just totally wrong?
Right. I think that's the joke, right?
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, if people listening, if you have not seen, haven't seen This is Spinal Tap, please watch it.
I need to.
Hysterical. Several rock stars have commented on what an uncannily accurate spoof of the rock and heavy metal world this film is. Spinal Tap, I'm referring to. U2 guitarist The Edge said, I didn't laugh. I wept. It was so close to the truth. Anyway, all right. So now Jess fixes the keg at the party as he coolly does. He tapped it. Rory again trying to cheer him up. Rory, you and Springsteen, the working man's hero. And then, you know, this is when Jess is like ultimately cool than James Deany when he just rolls his eyes. He rolls his eyes at the guys and walks away. It's like, Jess, they're going, Jess. And he just rolls his eyes and walks away. So he was super cool in that moment. So Springsteen has often been referred to as a working class hero, a powerful figure giving voice to the powerless. As an icon to blue collar America, Bruce uses his music in support of poor and working class people to challenge the oppressive systems that create such social injustices. Try telling that to people trying to buy his tickets now for his Las Vegas residency, which are thousands of dollars. I think you can buy a seat there for $40,000. So there's a little bit of an uproar there about that. Okay, so Brian feels like he's having a panic attack before the first gig. I want to say something. Here's a sidebar. Ready? You want a sidebar? How about the cat tower, the carpet cat tower? And there's a cat on top of it, but it's not alive.
Two scenes.
That's just a prop cat, right? Go back and watch it. It's just, there's like this wig.
We have to put that on Instagram.
That looks like a cat up there, but that's not a real cat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and that's in two different scenes. I think it was in a Dave Lane scene, and it was also in what's his name? Dean was in that scene. So Brian says, yeah, you're just, Brian's having a panic attack. Dave says,
oh yeah.
Brian, you're just nervous. Take a deep breath and use your inhaler. See, Adam Brody makes that funny. It was a great moment. Zach says, yeah. And don't forget that the hair and fingernails on John Entwistle's body were still growing when they brought in his replacement, which was kind of morbid because, you know, I was a huge fan of John Entwistle was the bass player for The Who. And he died at the Hard Rock Hotel, I think in Vegas, before a performance. And they brought in another, anyway, English musician who was a bassist for the rock band The Who. His music career spanned 4 decades. He was nicknamed the Ox and Thunder Fingers, nicknamed the Ox because he was so strong. He was strong and silent and grounded member of The Who. Zach is referring to when John died. June 27th, 02, the band before The Who were supposed to go on tour. Then the band announced July of 02, they replaced him with Pino Palladino. I wonder if that's any relationship to Dan Palladino, who had played with Peter Townsend's solo albums, the guitarist for The Who. The replacement was 3 days after John's death. I mean, what are you going to do, right? You're going on tour. The guy, yeah, it's tough call. Paris going on about why she doesn't want the grad party on a yacht. You know what I thought about that scene when Paris was going on?
Like they had to just give her something to do.
No, I like the scene. That's pure Paris for you. That's Paris at her best, right? But I thought maybe they could have gotten a British actress to play the role.
Paris?
For some reason I hear a British accent.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And there's only one Paris, Scott.
I get it. But I mean, what if... Anyway, Paris, forget the inconvenience of being at sea with guests unable to leave if the party is full... is dull, or if the band,
which is
inevitably be composed of accountants with semi-mullets, decides to do a half-hour Kenny G tribute. Funny. Fun facts. A burn to Kenny G by Paris, who is making a point that her classmates will ultimately hate the band and songs played with no escape if they are on a yacht. Kenny G is a saxophonist who has sold over 75 million albums. Let me say that again. 75 million albums. You know how
he's very popular.
Sell 75 million
albums.
But
he does have that connotation of like.
Dorky.
To use Jess's words.
He's supposed to be a really good golfer, Kenny G.
He is like a really good golfer.
So random.
I know.
I would totally be down with a Kenny G Michael Bolton concert. I'll go to that.
He started playing saxophone at 10 years old. He was signed by Arista Records in 82 after Clive Davis heard his rendition of Dancing Queen by ABBA. That Clive Davis. And that's it, kids. I just want you to know, Amy, that Hannah, and you'll know, our audience doesn't know who Hannah is.
Our producer, Hannah.
Hannah's our producer. She's fantastic. She agrees with you about falling asleep at the Harry Potter movies.
You guys are smart. Whack. Like, Harry Potter is... iconic and literally legendary.
It is. I'll try it again, but I don't think it's going to be different, but I'll try it again. I'll go to that Harry Potter world.
Oh, it's so
Isn't
fun.
Isn't that thing at Universal Studios? Beer?
Yeah, but the one here sucks. The one in Orlando's better.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and Jacqueline now. Jacqueline chiming in. Jacqueline chiming in. I've never watched Harry Potter.
You know what? You know what? Danielle and I are going to go hang out watch the movies. Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know. There's something going on here. There's something brewing here. So it's three against three. It's a Harry Potter standoff.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of split.
No, it comes down to Easton.
Yeah, Easton, what's the deal?
No, Easton Island. Huh?
Where's Easton?
Potter.
Easton, do you like Harry Potter?
Easton has snuck away.
We're waiting for a response.
2 hours later, we're like, he loves it.
He goes, those guys are blathering on.
I can
forever.
Already tell you that Easton likes Harry Potter.
He does like Harry Potter.
He is as much as he loves Avengers.
He's a Marvel guy.
That's a 4-3 tilt for Harry Potter. Okay, JK, if you're out there,
that sounds about right.
So. Let's send some tickets to these three. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, Easton, not a Harry Potter guy. Whoa,
that means
sorry.
Easton, you let us down.
Do you like Leif Garrett?
Oh my goodness.
So Tara, Danielle, me, we're like we got to hold up the...
My heart is broken. I'm not going to lie.
What is
same. I'm really disappointed.
Wow. We could be sabotaged.
Dancing.
You know, we could be sabotaged because behind the scenes, we've got anti-Harry Potter people.
Yeah.
Ooh. And one on the air. Ooh, we've been infiltrated. My God. All right.
When
bored
this weekend, everyone rewatch the Wonder Woman episode with Leif Garrett portraying twins. You'll be happy you did.
Gonna pass.
I'm gonna be in a meeting at that time.
Yes. You're gonna be in a meeting all weekend long.
Yeah, I got a big meeting coming up.
I'm washing
there.
My hair that night. That's isn't that what they used to say?
You know what? I forgot. I have to take out the trash that week. All right, so next episode is going to be episode 20, season 3. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
That's going to wrap it up for Pop Culture. Thank you, Tara S., as always. Danielle Romo, thank you so much. Amy Sugarman happens to be an Annie Potter, Harry Potter person.
Danielle and I will go have a marathon of our
own. Yeah, we're going to have a marathon. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Love you guys. Thanks for downloading. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You want to try that again?
For you to say, Danielle.
Hang on.
Bye.
Bye. That's like somebody taking a huge chug of beer and like, what the heck was that? Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.